thy name. All glory be unto thee and thy Son, Jesus Christ. Forgive us of our weaknesses, our shortcomings. Guide us in today in our thoughts and in our deeds. And pray, oh God, that thou would bless our brother here as he speaks to us, that thou give him freedom of thought and words, as thou know what we need even better than we do. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jack. It's good to be here. Might as well. I'm going to talk a little bit, and then we'll show some pictures. What I want to start off with is talking a little bit about the day that we live in. When I was young and growing up, if I needed something or if I needed more money, you just worked harder. That was it. Today, I'm told you have to work smarter. And maybe that's my problem. I guess I can't work smart. But today's day that we live in scares me. 2 weeks ago, I was reading an article in the Kansas City Star about experts warning of a pending oil crisis. And they say in 35 years or less, we're out. But they also said natural gas and coal would be running short within that time frame also. Now, I make my living pumping gas, working on cars. But today that we live in, it's upside down. I don't understand it anymore. And then I was reading an article by Thomas Friedman talking about China. And the bookkeeper we have, his great uncle, he was told, could have got in on the ground floor of ballpoint pens for $2,000. And $2,000 was a lot of money back then. But think about what kind of money could be made. Well, I'm going to give you a word to remember. Alibaba. And it's not an Arabian folktale or whatever. It is an emerging market on the web in China. And the Chinese gather together all their entrepreneurs, and I have a hard time saying that word, and what they put together, they begin to market. And they're selling these on the web. And supposedly they're bigger than... I've got a bunch marked down here, but they're bigger than what's the one everybody buys from now? Pardon me? Well, Walmart's not on the web, but they're bigger than two places that you buy from on the web right now, and they're going to continue to get bigger. And it's not just for individuals; it's for corporations to buy from, and not just products. Innovations, whole marketing for the whole world. And it said, unless you learn to fit in with this, you won't be able to make it. It's going to be a commercial grid that will encompass the whole world. I don't understand the dynamics that are at play in this world that we live in anymore. I know that in Ephesians 6:12 it says that we wrestle against, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Secret combinations.
I believe that to be true. And I think as the world continues to go in the downward spiral that it's in, we're going to see that more and more. How China can dominate the whole world through a web that the United States created. The internet, back when, not Al Gore, but entrepreneurs created that internet. How that you and I are to eke out a living in this world, well, I make it with my hands. Some of you may use your minds to make a living. But how do we find our place in this world? But that's not what we're here to talk about in the Church of Christ. I want to share some pictures, some thoughts, if I can get back to my slide presentation. This is the map of the Philippines. And down here at the bottom, the black star that you see near the city of Davao is where headquarters, Church of Christ, is in Panabo, the island of Mindanao. And we commissioned three of our brothers to go up to Nueve Ecija, which is on the island of Luzon, which is north of Manila, probably about 3.5-hour drive. And they opened up a brand new mission there. This next month, they'll be going to the island of Cebu, and they'll be opening up a mission there. And I want to talk a little bit about what they were able to do, show some pictures of the people, how they interfaced with the people, and I'm probably going to be right in your way. I'll try to kneel down and talk. This right here are two of the brothers that are waiting in Davao International Airport for a flight to Manila, and from there they'll take their journey by land. Brother Frank and I have spent quite a bit of time in that airport, two more of the brothers. Before this air-conditioned airport, it was a cement structure with a grass roof, and it was open all the way around it. And mosquitoes and jet fuel fumes, all the ambiance of the Philippines you were subject to. These are two of the brothers at waiting departure. The one on the right is Evangelist Camilo Sampson. The one on the left is Priest Arturo Superior. And I want to tell you a little bit about the three brothers that went up there. This last trip to the Philippines, I spent 3 days holed up with the ministry. And at the beginning, I told them I was going to make most of them mad. I was going to hurt some of their feelings. And I was going to challenge each and every one of them. And we had a good 3 days meeting. And they want to do it again. Now, we got to know each other quite a bit better. And part of that, I had each of them prepare a presentation of their favorite scripture, their testimonies, their witness that they have of the truthfulness of the Church of Christ. What drew them in? And Brother Sampson, the one on the right, a little bit of short guy, about like so, wiry, strong, he's my age, 66, an evangelist. He said that his favorite scripture was Acts, the first chapter, verse 8, where it talks about receiving power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And he related his experience in the church that he was a member of before and how that he felt a closeness to Christ. He felt the Spirit moving with him. But now he has something to compare it with. He says now he feels this power and he knows the truth. He spent 1 year with the Church of Christ going to lectures, leadership training, listening to our sermons, reading the Bible and the Book of Mormon before he made a commitment to Christ in the Church of Christ. And he says now he knows the real truth. He said in the old church... In the old church, he received the knowledge, And he was taught, but what he was taught was from the founder of that church, a man. And he says, now with the Church of Christ, Christ as the founder, as the rock, he knows the difference. And he feels that power of the Holy Ghost within him. And Christ called him forth in time after about two and a half year period to be an evangelist. He's a general church representative of your Church of Christ in the Philippines. The brother on the left, Priest Arturo Superior, he made mention of Acts 20, 24, quoted in part, I give my life to finish my course and my ministry. And he said his life is given over underneath the banner of the Church of Christ, what it stands for, what it represents, who found it. He said that he preferably considered baptism, and while awaiting a decision, he had a dream. And in that dream, he was trying to catch clean water to place over his head. And the water was plentiful, but someone was cutting off the supply. And there wasn't enough to cleanse himself in. And he awoke from that dream. He prayed about it. And he knew he had to ask for baptism. He said after he was baptized, he was happy. But he suffered a lot of backbiting from family, from friends, from people he worked with because of the way that he had changed. But he said, with joy, I will finish my course. What Brother Arturo Superior does is teach about five seminars, Bible, the Book of Mormon, the Holy Ghost, baptism, and they're in depth. He didn't come up with them. Teacher Ben Retinol, who passed away this last year, did. And he put them together, and he... I learned something every time Brother Ben taught a class. Well, Brother Ben could not drive a motorcycle. Arturo could. So the priest took the teacher to every class he ever taught. And he sat and he listened, and now the courses are his. And he teaches as well as Brother Ben, a different way. He's a little bit stricter than Ben was. Ben taught with humor. People would be laughing and learning. Arturo's, I won't say a disciplinarian, but he commands your attention. He does a good job. And he went on and quoted scriptures that are precious to him out of 1 Nephi 3, verse 184 on, where it talks about the plain and the precious things found in the Book of Mormon, how that they were hid, but to come forth through the Gentiles to his seed. And he believes that. Isaiah 4:3, those that are left in Jerusalem and Zion will be holy. And he sees that as a future event to look forward to prepare the people that have been entrusted to him in the Church of Christ to make sure they're ready. Brother Samson on the right, the evangelist, the brother on the left is an elder in the Church of Christ. He's the secretary of the priesthood over there, Jonathan Alameda. He's the son of Prudencio Alameda that passed away a few years back. Brother Jonathan's favorite scripture was the Book of Enos. He identified with Enos as he went into the jungle to seek truth from God and to find that truth. And how that he was invited to listen to the voice of the Spirit. He also quoted Ecclesiastes 3:1, in that in everything there is a season. And he began to recount his personal walk with Christ. And that began in another church. And I believe each of our walks, whether we're born into the Church of Christ and walk with Christ, or whether we come to the Church of Christ through another church, as long as it's a Christian church with Christ, I believe we follow Christ, bit by bit. And he talked a little bit about what brought him in to the Church of Christ. First time I ever met him was at Mount Carmel, and it run by the Baptist Church. And we rented it and brought all the people together there for instruction, for learning, sermons, and a lot of questions. Brother Jonathan was there. And Brother Frank and I were ready to eat lunch, and Jonathan cornered us, and he had a lot of questions. And it was one question after another question after another. They just kept coming. And he quoted, he said, Brother Frank blushed from all my hard questions. He got Frank red in the face. I won't say Frank was angry, but he was getting a little agitated. And it was simply because this man wanted to know hard questions. Brother Prudencio advised him, Jonathan, afterwards, you are a hard-headed man with a stubborn spirit. And this is a father talking to his son. And what Frank did, I questioned at the time. He gave him his personal Book of Mormon, the one you have all the notes in, the one that you just turn to and you know right where you're at, the one you're comfortable with. And it was the only one Frank had in the Philippines. And he gave it to Jonathan, and he told him to read it and to pray about it. And Jonathan did just that. Now, I'm going to use a word. Jonathan said that people advised him, if you read the Book of Mormon, you're nothing more than a bastard, giving away your inheritance in Christ from another church. And Jonathan, he has a way of disarming people with a smile, and he smiled at him and he said, no. Maybe foolish, though, for reading it, but no, I'm not that. And so he took his time. He read it. It took him 2 years with his earthly father teaching him on the side, and he said he found no mistake in the Book of Mormon, and he accepted it. But then, baptism. Now, Jonathan was a minister in one of the Baptist churches. He was not only a minister, he was an officer in their headquarters. He made more money per month than a highway patrolman in the Philippines, than a teacher, a professional makes. He made good money for a Filipino. And he prayed about it. And he said, if I join this church, I'm no longer a minister and an officer. And with an income, and his wife Judith, and they've got kids, 5 kids, no income. And you got to answer to your wife. And he prayed about it. What kind of servant will I be if I join? And God answered him. God said, a humble one. One of the scriptures he quoted was Alma 9:41, where it talks about the day of probation, a time to prepare for that endless sleep. And he knew he had to be baptized, and he was. He told his father, that Prudencio, he was ready to be baptized. And Prudencio said, wait for the missionaries. And it was my privilege to baptize Jonathan. And I remember that day as he does. He also related his calling to be an elder in the Church of Christ. He wasn't there. And Brother Frank rushed to where he was and told him what had happened, how many witnesses were given. And Frank advised him to seek his own witness, to be sure. And he's sure. They were on their way to Nueve and Ceja. They flew from Davao to Manila, and there they engaged transport the next day, but they stayed in Caloocan for the night. I've not been there. I've not been to any place in Luzon save Manila. And those are pictures of some of the places in the city. Am I in your way, Dale? A little bit. And then they began their drive to Nueve and Ceja, and it takes about 3 hours to get there from Manila. They were evidently in a bus passing through a toll booth. I guess in Luzon they have some nice highways. I have not seen a highway in Mindanao. What you have out front here is a pretty good road in Mindanao. And in Paniqui, they took a tricycle ride for about 30 minutes. And I've seen as many on these tricycles, I've seen as many as 8 people on these. I've seen 9 on a single motorcycle. And the way they do that, you have your motorcycle, they put a 2x6 on the rear wheel, and you're out there just like birds on a wire. I wouldn't do it. And these were the leaders in Nueve and Ceja that they talked to, members of another church. The pastor on the left, his assistant on the right. And I guess this is the wife of the leader there. It's a nice church. I don't know if they own that, if they rent that. I'm not really sure at this point. And that's the exposition that Arturo Superior, the priest, is giving, one of them. Hopefully you can see with these overheads. You're doing okay? Okay. Some of the members up, or they're members now, after the exposition, after the Sunday service. And our brother back there, you see no tie. And they're offering a song special up front. And I think this, the existing leader is starting to introduce some of the speakers. And we got a lot of special numbers. Filipinos, if you give them a microphone, they're up there. You'll never see me do a special, but I've never seen a bashful Filipino. And he's presenting the speaker. They call this words of encouragement. Now, the difference between a sermon and words of encouragement is length. Maybe. I've heard words of encouragement, you would think, just a few. Hi, how are you? Glad to be here. Our prayers are for you, and you sit down. That's words of encouragement, not in the Philippines. Frank says some of my words of encouragement, I compete with Hugh Yates. But that's according to Frank. And there's Arturo Superior. It was his time for words of encouragement. I didn't take these pictures. I've not been here. They took pictures with a new camera that I bought them for this purpose. This is worship service. Some of the young people. And the lady in, they say, a violet dress, I guess it is. That's the leader of the young people. Pretty good group. And then they had a baptism after Sunday, after the lunch, and 17 entered into the water of baptism and are now members of the Church of Christ. You notice that's a swimming pool. In Mindanao, I've been in one pool. Nothing as nice as that. The rest of it, where I've been, is the sea. a river, a pond with water buffalo in it. But that's a nice setup there. And a lot of times, if it's for a baptism service, they'll let you baptize no charge. But some of them will charge you the same as if you go swimming. Two shots of the confirmation to bestow the Holy Ghost. And it looks like they're still wet around the edges, too. And I don't know if you can read that back there. On Saturday, let me see if I can read it. On Saturday during the exposition, we experience a hard questions from the people. Questions about the Book of Mormon and Joseph Smith, but we really felt the Lord because he gives us knowledge to answer all of their questions. And they really understood of what we are explaining about the Church of Christ. And then Sunday afternoon, they decided to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they put that little presentation together of their trip up there. We're going to start island hopping about once every 3 months, as long as the money holds out. We have an evangelist over there, and I'm going to use him for that purpose. That's what he's called to do, is to go into new areas and to spread the word. And he'll probably take Jonathan or Arturo with him to help him in that effort. And then I got an email from the evangelist, Brother Camilo Sampson. And he says, "Greetings in the most precious name of our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sirs, we are so thankful for the victory over so many trials and hindrances we have encountered during the past few months. The Church of Christ is beginning to grow bigger and wider. That's why the enemy is trying to hinder and to stop the work. But thank God, because the Church of Christ is founded upon a solid rock, that even the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And I like that part. Because when I read the papers and I get caught up in the day-to-day life, the temporal affairs, what I depend on to eat, to sleep, to breathe, clothes to wear, a house to reside in, I get caught up in that, and you do too. All of us do. And I like the way Brother Sampson points out that that's not what we're here for. He says, "The gates of hell and all the changes that I fear are not going to prevail. The beauty and glory of the Church of Christ is beginning to shine all over the Philippines. And it's not just the Philippines. It's Africa, and it's Honduras, and it's Mexico itself, Yucatan. It is every country that the Church of Christ is led to. We don't go out looking. We get invitations, a lot of them. Some of them pan out, and a lot of them don't. And we have to rely upon the Spirit of Christ to lead us and guide us. The same Spirit that beckoned you out of the world into the Church of Christ. It's the same Spirit. And we have to continue to follow that Spirit, not just into the water, not just to have hands laid upon it, but every day of our life until He comes back. Beginning to shine all over the Philippines, and its last message, especially the Book of Mormon, will soon spread throughout the whole face of the earth." And that's what you were talking about in your Sunday school class. That very thing happening through ministers of the Church of Christ, through a seer yet to come, but all founded in Jesus Christ. Thank God for the good success of our new mission work in central Luzon, and that's Nueve Ecija. Just one mission. Where 17 were added to the church through water baptism. We are praying for more members to be added to the church in the future. Sirs, we thank you so much for your full pledge of support. Now, what does that mean? Support. It's not sirs, Frank and I. That's sirs and madam, each of you members of the Church of Christ. Brothers and sisters, support is prayers. Physical strengthening, you'll probably never meet them. But in the spirit, your prayers carry a lot. And your tithes, your offerings, they're used for a good purpose. If we look forward to all these things to come, how does it come about? Well, God could, I can't snap my finger anymore, I've got arthritis. But God could snap his finger and it's done. But you know what? He works through you and I. And that's blood, sweat, tears, and money. That's what it is. That's what support is. And Camilo is cognizant of that. He respects that. We thank you so much for your full pledge of support, especially your love and concern for the work here in the Philippines. We love you and always behind you in our prayers. Please extend my best regards to all the saints, especially to Apostle Frank Fan and family. Yours in his service, Brother Camilo Sampson. Why do I like that letter so much? It's been 50 years since God called forth an evangelist. And that's Brother Camilo. Your evangelist. That's the start of a work that is going to encompass the whole world. And Sampson knows that. Little bitty guy. How's he going to do it? How does Mike McGee do it? How do you do it? Day by day. Bit by bit. We can't snap her finger, but Proverbs 4, verse 18 says, "The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." You've chosen to be a member of the Church of Christ, and in that you have made a just choice. But day by day by day, do you have a light to shine? Yes, Christ put it in you. Are you the light and the salt of the earth? He says we are. Matthew the 5th chapter, 3 Nephi, the 5th chapter, he says that's what you and I are, the salt and the light of the earth, to enhance the flavor, to give it meaning, to preserve the old ways unto the perfect day. Well, there's a lot of days between now and that perfect day when we are made perfect. What does the scripture say? Not sealed. Sealed in perfection. Because Mike McGee is not perfect. Mike McGee sins. Each of you do. It's up to us to keep that day-by-day path as clean as we can. Now, they've also journeyed to some place I'm not even sure where it's at. It's in Mindanao, Pagadian. And it takes 18 hours to get there driving. Now, that's not at 70 miles an hour. That can be at 7 miles an hour, or that could be at 40 miles an hour. It takes 18 hours to get there. And they started out when there was a thick fog. And I've been in fog like that. This is daytime. At nighttime, can't see 4 feet in front of the van. And that driver doesn't slow down. And they stopped by the roadside for a picnic. Sister on the left, that's Lolita Alameda, the wife of Prudencio. And she's been here to the United States. The one in the foreground on the right, that's Sister Judith Alameda. She's married to Jonathan. She's the one that was worried about losing the income. Her husband took 2 years to make up his mind, and he was baptized, no money. It took her almost 3 years, three more years, before she was convinced of the Church of Christ. But she's convinced. She's a good lady. And that's an overview looking out from whatever high place they are, out over a valley. Bukidna. And I guess, sir, they call it a mission house where they meet. Now, I want to tell you one thing. I've not been to this place, but I want to go. You know why? Not because I've never been there. It is air-conditioned where they meet. Now, I told them, I'm going to give you 1 year. And the membership has to begin to offset some of the cost of the place we rent for them to meet. It's not real expensive, but it's more expensive than any other place that we rent. And so I told them, you got 1 year to make a commitment to your offerings can begin to offset that. And that's the only way that the work is going to go throughout the world. You and your tithes and your offerings started this work, and hopefully you'll continue. But the membership, wherever, no matter how poor they are, has to continue that work, or it will never fly. And I think Christ blesses those that give. I know He does. And we don't hammer them for the money. I talked to the priesthood about that. That is a outrig that is seaworthy. I've baptized off the side of one of those, go out into the bay and jump off the side and baptize. But they had to take that transportation from land to wherever they went. And they call that, where they're going is White Beach Island. I can't imagine that because their sand is volcanic. It's black. All their sand is black. But evidently they import it someplace. Had a water baptism in the ebb tide. Confirmation. I think there are a total of about 12 people baptized here. This is Elder Roger Manali that is doing the confirmation. And that's the air-conditioned room that they rent for services. A few visitors mixed in. That's Brother Camilo Sampson blessing a child. And not a willing participant, I don't think. And then they had a home visitation to one of the members. And wherever they live, evidently, the tide comes in, the tide goes out. And you probably have to plan your day according to whether the tide's in or out. Looks like they're built on stilts there. And notice the bamboo floor. Now, their walls are made out of plank wood. Down in Mindanao, a lot of their walls are nothing more than I won't say press board because it's almost like a cardboard, but it's like you took a thick cardboard, compressed it down, and the first time I ever did a home visitation, looked like a good wall to me. And what do we do in the United States? We lean against a wall. If somebody hadn't caught me, I don't know what room I would have ended up in. And we ourselves also, through the infinite goodness of God and the manifestations of His Spirit, have great views of that which is to come. And were it expedient, we could prophesy of all things. Words of King Benjamin to a people after he had taught of Christ, gave them a view of what was to come. Now, I get caught up in this life. I'm worried about 35 years. I'm out of gas. I'm out of oil. I'm out of coal. Natural gas. I'm worried about Alibaba, a word I never heard before. This life is going to be turned upside down. The life we know, it's never going to be the same again. But this life, the life to come, we have to have great views of that which is to come, or we're going to get sucked down in today. We have to prayerfully look at the Bible and the Book of Mormon and every revelation that has been given to the Church of Christ that has been accepted and believe. Believe that it is going to come to pass. And it's not going to be given to us. We have to work hard for it. And were it expedient, we could prophesy of all things. You know, God's not going to withhold anything. I tried to find it in the Book of Mormon when you were talking about the sealed books. And it talks about the mysteries of God in the Book of Mormon. And there's four different passages in my old Book of Mormon. I've got marked down there what it takes to qualify to know the mysteries of God. And faith is in every one of them. The faith that Zerna talked about. Faith, a belief. And it says if we have that, and somebody said, as did the brother of Jared, it says we may know all mysteries. God doesn't hold secrets. He waits till we qualify to know. Waits till it's expedient. I like that word. So what kind of views do you have of that which is to come? Day by day. An ebb and flow. And we have to make sure our feet are out of the muck and the mire. We have to make sure that we have attained that higher ground. And I think that's all I had. That's it. Thank you for your attention.
And I prayed about my baptism. A couple of hours later, Tom Jordan, DJ Jordan, got up and called about